This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show, which, of course, is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, we're almost there. It's show number 399. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, on this show, ever thought about writing a nonfiction book as a small business owner? In this hour, we'll talk about how it can help grow your company, plus why cyber criminals are actually attacking your business right now and what you can do to keep your company safe. But first, how did companies such as Uber, Salesforce, 5-Hour Energy, Netflix, IKEA dominate their markets while their competition never came close? According to my next guest, each created and designed an entirely new category of business. Al Ramadan is the co-founder of Play Bigger Advisors, the world's first category design firm. They help entrepreneurs and CEOs create companies that matter. Al has been a CEO and entrepreneur, an operating executive, and selling technologist. Got a book out, which I love the title of, Play Bigger, How Pirates, Dreamers, and Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. Al, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
I love that you put pirates, dreamers, and innovators all in the same sentence, because they're kind of all the same.
They are, especially in the small business world. It is the same mindset.
And so talk about category design, that whole concept, and why it matters.
Yeah, it's something we've been working on for about 20 years, and it is a discipline that we encourage folks to use, which gets clear about what the problem is you're solving, so the ramifications of solving that problem, i.e. what's the good part of that and the bad part, as well as, what the vision for the future is and the outcome. And it's something we practice as a consulting organization, but people asked us to try and articulate this in a form that many people could use, and that's why we wrote the book.
And so let's give some examples. So I talked about the top of the show, Uber, Salesforce, 5-Hour Energy, Drink, Netflix, IKEA. How are they new categories?
Yeah, so the thing about a category is it's how our mind works. When someone says, hey, listen, I need to drive from San Francisco to Tahoe, and there's going to be snow, what sort of vehicle should I get? Your response would most likely be something like an SUV, because our brains organize the way we solve problems in buckets we call containers. An SUV is a container. Inside of that, there's everything from a Ford Explorer to a Porsche Cayenne. So categories matter, and our research shows that if you do this right, the category king, that is the company that dominates a particular category, ends up with 76% of the market cap of that entire category. So the goal here is to define a category that fits in the mind of a user, a person, or a consumer, and be that company that frames the conversation around the problem, in this particular case, getting to Tahoe in winter.
Now, Al, do you have to be the first one that does that, or can you be second or third and still become the category leader?
It's funny you should ask that question. Many, many examples that you don't have to be first. Google was not the first search engine. For those of you who may remember, there was AltaVista and Lycos and many other different companies before that. Google just framed the conversation in a different way and created a category called search advertising, and ultimately went on to dominate that space. And there are many examples like that. So you don't have to be first, but you have to be the one that frames the discussion, that anchors the conversation around the problem.
Well, this seems to me to actually create a new category instead of building a better mousetrap takes a lot of guts and courage.
It does. It does. But here's the thing. We call it the magic triangle. It's a combination of the product that you offer or the service, the company, and how you go to market, as well as the category. It's the combination of those three things that actually makes the difference. And the question we ask most of the entrepreneurs we work with, why would you spend all of that money on product design and company design and not spend any money on category design, i.e. framing the problem in the minds of those people who are going to purchase the product.
What's very interesting is that when we think of electric cars now, we think of Tesla, but of course, they weren't the first ones to come out with the modern day electric car. That was really GM. And you know, I'm a big electric car fan because I drive a Nissan Leaf. So why do we think of Tesla as a car leader, electric car leader, instead of GM?
Well, that's a great example. Elon Musk is one of the great category designers of all time. He framed the conversation differently. It wasn't just about, if you like, replacing an existing car with something that kind of looked a little weird and was okay, got you maybe a couple, 20, 30, 50 miles. But he framed the conversation to be, why wouldn't you create a whole new type of car that is both great to look at, something that you would aspire to buy to, is cost competitive, and ultimately, delivers in terms of performance. And so he framed the question differently, which was, actually, it's not about sort of having a second car or a replacement car. It's about having a first car that is absolutely legendary. And he went on then to define that whole space.
And so what kind of entrepreneurs really go out and create new categories? It also seems like it takes a lot of money.
Well, obviously, the groups we work with in Silicon Valley, clearly, the scale is large, but it applies to everything down to a single individual. If you can define a space for you in your career, let's just take it down to the personal level. Instead of saying, hey, listen, I'm a VP of finance, or I'm a VP of sales or manager or whatever it might be, if you actually define exactly what problem you solve inside of a business in a way that that's different, then you can actually create a category for yourself. And I'll give you one simple example. It used to be in the old days, we used to have things like UI designers and UX designers. And a group of people in the early 2000 timeframe at Macromedia, created a whole new discipline called experience design. There are now, if you look on LinkedIn, there are now 25,000 people with the title experience design. So the point is that you can create these new categories. It didn't, in that particular case, cost any money, and it reframes the conversation you have about your skills and your capability in the mind of the person who's interested in hiring you.
Al, I found one thing that was really fascinating in the book is you did this whole analysis, and you said that the amount of money that's given companies really have zero correlation really to how successful they are.
That's true. That is true. That was one of the mind-boggling pieces of research. We invested a lot of time and money in this research, and one of the things we found was exactly that point, that there's no correlation between the amount of money raised by a company and the long-term value created. So that's point number one. There's no correlation between the number of rounds of finance you do, i.e. how many smart people look at this, and the outcome. There's actually a correlation between how old you are, in this particular case, in the tech space, at the time that you go public. And it turns out that all of the value is created between 6 to 10 years, i.e. if you're 6 to 10 years old as a tech company and you go public, the likelihood that your success was pretty high. And there's brain science and adoption science behind that as to why that's happening. Essentially, people take that long to come to terms with this new idea, which is why investing in evangelizing a category can make that happen faster and, as a result, put you as the category king and take 76% of the market cap.
Al, is there any companies that out in Silicon Valley that you're particularly excited about that can be new category leaders?
Oh, there's lots. One really short story I'll tell you is a company called Clear Metal. And they are a predictive logistics company. Three kids out of Stanford, we started working with them very early in the company. Like, they didn't have offices or anything like that. And they are trying to revolutionize the container shipping industry. Turns out that container shipping is very inefficient. Containers lie around at different places for many, many weeks, and it costs money. And that they are helping big shipping companies predict where the containers need to be based on machine learning. It's a fascinating company, and we were involved in the category design of that firm in the early days and pretty excited about them.
And so if you look at a couple other industry leaders, does one just survive? In other words, can there be both Lyft and Uber, or really in the end there's just going to be one?
In the end, the research shows that one company takes 76% of the market cap, and numbers 2, 3, 4, and 5 end up fighting over the other 25% of that market cap. And so those, that doesn't say those companies disappear or anything like that. It just means they're fighting for a much smaller bag of marbles.
And it's interesting because we see exactly that, what has really happened in the search space, right? It's not like Yahoo went away, but it's obviously a lot less of the space, search space, than Google has.
Correct. That's right. And that happens in category after category after category. There's one company that dominates smartphones. Who dominates that? Apple. You know, shopping online. Who dominates that? Amazon. And there's a bunch of other also-rans.
Well, Al, thanks for being on the show. Where can people get in touch with you and get a copy of the book?
You can get it on Amazon, of course. Play Bigger is the name of the book. And you can also go to playbigger.com.
And let the Play Bigger, I got to say the title one more time, How Pirates, Dreamers, Innovators Create and Dominate Markets. I love the title. Al, thanks so much for being on the show.
Real pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Well, coming up next, why as a small business owner should you consider writing your first nonfiction book? We'll talk about that. This is AM 560, The Answer. Be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBangis with a look at your roadways. All lanes remain blocked on the southbound side of 394 between US 30, that's Lincoln Highway, and Sauk Trail. All of this due to a tragic injury accident involving a pedestrian that was struck by a vehicle. Then in Niles, Morton Grove area on Milwaukee Avenue, just south of Dempster, there's a pin-in accident. Crews are on the scene. Edens and the Kennedy are both wide open coming inbound on the Eisenhower. A little hectic through the avenues with overnight road work in place. Thorndale into the Old Post Office 3219 from Mannheim outbound's clear. Stevenson, busy from the Des Plaines River Bridge into First Avenue with roadwork set up. 355 to the drive, 37, now 27 from the Tri-State. If you're traveling in on I-57, bumper to bumper, 159th to 127th Street, reports of a shooting, heavy police activity in the area. Partly cloudy today and a high of 62, currently 55 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning with Gordon
Bruce
Deal.
Told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
Do you want to give your small business the edge that it needs to grow into a bigger business? Of course you do. Come to Accelerate Your Business, hosted by Microsoft, at the Chicago Hilton, October 24th. Damon John, star of ABC's Shark Tank, will kick things off, followed by exciting panels with Carol Roth, Gene Marks, and yes, Barry Moltz will be a panelist too. So come say hi. Don't miss this opportunity to network with your peers and learn what's new and essential in technology. Book your complimentary ticket today at barrymoltz.com/October24. Do you want to give your small business the edge that it needs to grow into a bigger business? Of course you do. Come to Accelerate Your Business, hosted by Microsoft, at the Chicago Hilton, October 24th. Damon John, star of ABC's Shark Tank, will kick things off, followed by exciting panels with Carol Roth, Gene Marks, and yes, Barry Moltz will be a panelist too. So come say hi. Don't miss this opportunity to network with your peers and learn what's new and essential in technology. Book your complimentary ticket today at barrymoltz.com/October24.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Okay, kids, the campfire's out. Let's hit the road.
Dad? The fire's not out. It's still smoking.
No, close enough.
Come on, Dad, do your homework. If it's too hot to touch, then it's too hot to leave.
I knew that.
You're never too young to get your smoky on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference.
Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Stick around.
and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, in 2001, I actually wrote my first book, not necessarily to boost any business I had, but to tell a story. But now many small business owners can actually do both. Here to show us how is Stephanie Chandler. She's the author of several books, including the nonfiction book Marketing Plan, Online and Offline Promotion Strategies to Build Your Audience and Sell More Books and Own Your Own Niche, Hype-Free Internet Marketing Tactics to Establish Authority in Your Field. She is also the founder and CEO of the Nonfiction Authors Association. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barry. Great to be here today.
So a lot of small business owners are thinking, I could never, ever write a book. And I say, you're wrong. Are they right or wrong?
I agree with you. They're wrong. It can actually be a lot easier than it sounds, though. I think it's a little intimidating to people when they haven't been maybe writers in the past.
Why is a good idea for a small business owner actually to have a book?
Well, it opens doors. You know, there's the old saying, it's the best business card you can have.
Right.
But, you know, it gets you booked for speaking engagements. It gives you more authority. It can, you know, give you a reason to raise your rates. I've worked with an author who's a financial advisor. He never sells any books online, and he doesn't care, because what he does is he hands his book over to potential new clients, and it influences them to hire him. So it's been a big, you know, growth builder for his business.
Yeah, as you said, it's a big, fat business card. It shows that you really are an expert in your field, and that's what selling and marketing is really all about these days. You want to show them that you can help them solve their problems, and what better way to show you're an expert than, oh, here's my book.
Yep, totally. Would you rather hire the personal trainer who's like every other personal trainer, or would you rather hire the trainer who's authored a book? That's just really impressive.
I'd like to hire Tony Little, who's been on our show. That would be fantastic. So if I'm not a writer and I want to get a book, where do I start?
Well, there's lots of ways you can approach this. So if you're not a writer, you could really just chunk it down. You know, start blogging. You can turn a blog into a book. But if you're truly not comfortable writing, you can dictate your book and have it transcribed and work with an editor, or you can hire a ghostwriter. They're available too. But, you know, the thing is, when you think about writing a book, let's say you're going to write a 60,000-word book. That's a pretty substantial-sized book. If you sat down and wrote 1,000 words a day, which is about 3 typed pages, you'd have a manuscript in 60 days. So when you chunk it down into smaller pieces, it's a lot more doable.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. When I started writing my first book in the early 2000s, I actually work with a woman named Sally Duros, and the first thing we do is we just had a conversation about key issues that I cared about around small business. We recorded those, we transcribed those, and that became the base of the book, and that was pretty easy.
Exactly, and if that helps when you have somebody who can pull that information out from you. But I like to sit down and just look at all the topics that I want to cover in a book, and I will put each one on a 3x5 card and spread them out before me. And then I kind of start putting them in order, and that becomes my outline. And that has been a strategy that's worked really well for me 9 books later. You know?
It's amazing. Now, there's a lot been going on in the publishing industry, even over the last 15 years I've been involved. And once then, it seems like everybody's got a book, and now you don't need to have a professional publishing company actually publish your book. You can do it yourself or through Amazon or things like that. What are the pros and cons of traditional versus self-publishing?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, traditional publishing has shifted so much over the years. We used to see book advances of $15,000 or $20,000, and now they're more like $5,000 if you're lucky. And so, you know, a lot of us, myself included, I'm traditionally published. I got really turned off by traditional publishing because they've got all the control. They can change your title. They can give you a cover you don't like. For me, the final straw on my last book was when the publisher called and said, we want you to remove a chapter.
Wow.
We don't care which one, but we want to minimize page count.
Wow.
Like, right. Are you kidding me?
We don't care which one. We just need to be smaller.
Yep. I mean, that's just terrible. And that's kind of the direction that it's going. And as I'm sure you know, they pay you an average of $1 a book, and you're still doing all the work. So there's been this huge shift toward self-publishing. The stigma is really going away. And the key, if you're going to go that way, is that you get really great production. You know, you get comprehensive editing. You get a professional cover designer. This is not a place where you cut corners. This is a place where you invest in really good production.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And so a lot of people say, all right, well, I've created a book. Now, automatically, people are going to buy it. But just like with everything else, Stephanie, just because you build it doesn't mean people will come. You actually have to go out and sell the book because there's nobody else going to sell it for you.
Totally do. And it's just like marketing your business, right? Nobody's going to come if they don't know it exists. And a lot of people think that, well, the book's on Amazon. That means it's going to sell. And then they get the book out there and they think, well, why isn't anybody buying it? Because you're competing with millions of titles. So book marketing, I like to view it as it's a marathon. It's an ongoing process. You're always looking for ways to get the word out. You're speaking. You're on social media. You're blogging. You know, you're doing all the kind of the same things you're doing to market your business.
And what kinds of things would you suggest people really do on an ongoing basis to make sure that people notice their book?
I think book reviews are hugely important. Book reviews factor into Amazon's algorithms. So, you know, how often your book actually appears on Amazon when people search for related topics really depends on the number of book reviews you're generating, the number of sales you're getting. So I think focusing on getting as many book reviews as possible is really important. I'm a big fan of guest blogging. Go out, if you don't yet have an audience or platform, go out and guest blog for sites that reach your target audience. Do things like I'm doing right now. Get out on, do some radio shows and podcasts. You know, people like you, Barry, need guests, right?
Exactly. So absolutely. We need content. Right. We absolutely need content, right? I just can't sit and talk to myself or sit and talk to the producer, Debbie, for 400 shows. It's a little difficult, right?
Right.
And a lot of revenues, a lot of authors, and I want to stress this, don't just get money from selling their books. There's a lot of other revenue streams that can be associated with this whole thing, right?
Totally. I love building revenue streams around books. Just yesterday, I did a webinar on corporate sponsorships for authors. You know, when you're an author, you have that credibility. And if you're building a good audience, and you can get all kinds of corporate sponsorship opportunities, you get those paid speaking gigs. Certainly, there's info product sales. You know, the revenue streams are really unlimited, and it's a lot of fun. Online training is very popular right now. Podcasters are doing really well. They're getting advertisers. I mean, it is a really exciting time to be producing content online.
And what do you think, Stephanie, about the idea of an ebook versus actually having a physical book? Is it necessary still to have a physical book?
Great question. I think it is. I prefer that you have both copies. You know, the ebook market kind of exploded for several years, and we thought, oh my gosh, print books are going away. And that's not at all what has happened. In fact, it's leveled out over the last couple of years. Ebook sales have actually gone down, I think about 12 or 13%, and print sales are going up. And I think what's happened is we have this kind of digital burnout. So people are wanting to get back to basics and hold a paper book in their hand and not, you know, be touching technology all the time. So I am a proponent of if you're going to do an ebook, you should do a physical book too. Now, the caveat there is if you're doing small niche ebooks, you know, this is a popular thing. You're doing a little $3.99 short, you know, quick topic. That may be an exception, but really to take full advantage, you want a print book in hand that you can send to media, you know, take to speaking engagements. You can't autograph an ebook.
That's
right?
Absolutely. So, I've tried to autograph someone's Kindle, but it just didn't quite work.
Yeah, it didn't work.
So, Stephanie, why did you create the Nonfiction Authors Association?
Yeah, you know, I've been out speaking at writers' conferences for a number of years, and I got really frustrated by the fact that us nonfiction authors were kind of largely ignored. I went to my first conference back in 2005, and I was the only business book author at the entire event
of
300 people. Now, it worked to my advantage because I stood out with the agents, but nobody was speaking to me at that conference. So in 2010, I launched a nonfiction writers' conference completely online. You know, we have 15 speakers over 3 days every year, and I didn't know if anyone would show up, but they did. And so each year I was holding this conference online, and people were saying, how do we keep in touch after the event is over? So, you know, I realized there were not enough resources for us, so I started the Nonfiction Authors Association in 2013. Today we are closing in on 14,000 members.
Wow.
So clearly there was a need in the market.
All right, and real quick, where can people learn more about it, and how can they join, and what does it cost?
NonfictionAuthorsAssociation.com. It's $19 a month or $190 for the year. We do weekly educational teleseminars. You get weekly templates, checklists, spreadsheets, release. We have a private member forum on LinkedIn. We have local chapters all across the country now, also in Toronto, Canada. So we're hopping. There's some great things happening.
Well, Stephanie, you're always hopping. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
Coming up next, is your business being targeted by cyber criminals? Well, guess what? It is right now. What you can do to shut them down. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
News Radio. I'm Carmen Roberts. Matthew is now a post-tropical storm. He's moving east away from North Carolina, but still creating lots of problems.
The flooding throughout the overnight hours and the start of the day on Sunday is going to be extreme.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reithmuth. Matthew dumping at least 18 inches of rain on Wilmington, North Carolina. Storm is about 30 miles southeast of Cape Hatteras. Some Republicans are calling for Donald Trump to drop out of the race after hearing his vulgar remarks on a tape, but he says he won't. Meantime, the controversy is giving comedy writers plenty of fodder.
Listen, okay, this was way back in 2005. It was 11 years ago, back when I was just a young, childish 59-year-old man.
Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump on NBC's Saturday Night Live. The candidates debate tonight in St. Louis. Fox News, we report. You decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. All lanes remain blocked on the southbound side of 394 between US 30 and Sauk Trail. That's through Sauk Village. All of this due to a tragic injury accident. In Niles on Milwaukee Avenue, just south of Dempster, there's a pin-in accident. We're getting reports of a shooting on the inbound side of I-57. Between 159th Street and 127th, heavy police activity through the area. This report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. The folks at Napa Auto Parts can't tell you when the next storm is coming, but they can prepare you for when it hits with Napa Proformer Wiper Blades. Just $3.99 a blade. That's Napa know-how at participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 11/13/16. Partly cloudy today with a high of 62. Currently 54 degrees downtown. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Are you losing sleep over recent market volatility affecting your hard-earned retirement savings? Let's face it, if you're at or near retirement, you can't afford to lose 40% of your nest egg like so many did in 2008. On one hand, you want safety and guarantee of principal. On the other hand, most people prefer the potential of higher growth by being linked to the market. Now you can have both: principal protection during market downturns and desirable market-linked growth during upturns. This strategy, offered by a highly rated insurance company, also provides a 5% upfront bonus and 10% simple growth for up to 10 years for income. That's right. Create your own pension. 5% upfront bonus and 10% simple growth per year for income you can't outlive. For a custom illustration, contact Kelly Financial Services, Inc. at 708-576-8999. 708-576-8999. Guarantees based on the claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Terms of contract apply, as well as surrender charges for terminating early. Income value not available for withdrawal.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, here is really an unfortunate but true fact that most cybercrime happens against small businesses because they, let's face it, are easy marks. What can you do to prevent from becoming the latest victim? Angie Singer Keating is a nationally recognized data security expert and CEO of information security leader Reclamair. She has a passion for creating more secure workforces by helping organizations adopt holistic security cultures. Angie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Barry. Such an honor to be talking with you.
Thanks. So why do cyber criminals go after small business owners? I guess, why us?
Well, it's the same reason that the bank robbers went after the trains and the banks, because that's where the money is.
Right.
And unfortunately, we're also very easy targets for them.
And why is that?
Well, it's because we have a couple things working against us. One is that we do not have the same level of technical resources available. I was just reading an article in Security Magazine about how the job unemployment rate for IT security specialists is zero.
Wow.
So if you can find these people and get them to work in a small business versus wanting to work at Google or Dell, good luck. So that's the first thing. We don't have the same level of human resources. We also can't afford some of the amazing technology that's out there. And then finally, we also don't spend enough time training our staff to help them help us keep the environment secure, training them on things like phishing scams, training them to know that just because there's antivirus on their computer that they're not immune to everything under the sun. So those are just some of the reasons. And then finally, we are the conduit into very large companies because we're vendors to them.
Yeah, and I saw one of the statistics says that it costs the average small business, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to really recover from a hack. So it really does make sense to prepare ahead of time. You talk about that you want organizations to adopt holistic security cultures. What does that mean?
It really means that you start, first of all, with an honest assessment of what your resources currently are. So, you know, many of us, we either, as a small business owner, which I am myself, we will have internal people that really help our computers run from an operational perspective, but they not necessarily will they have expertise in security. And, you know, security has turned into the same kind of profession as law and medicine, where there really are specialties. It is really, really important that people stay up to date on the latest threats. So having those people trained in our organization and understanding if we have a good resource, if we're outsourcing these services, that they have a good understanding of security. The other thing is that we train our staff, and we train them to understand why they are the target. They are just like the kid
who opens the front door to a stranger, when they click on something in an email, when they are surfing over their lunch hour and they click on a malicious link on a website, or when some fake antivirus pops up and they click on it. Not having them trained to understand all of those things really puts our entire organization at risk. You know, the Verizon data breach survey that they put out, their report they put out each year, talks about how 95-97% of attacks were not difficult, and that's really because of the fact that they were targeted towards end users who then clicked on something, answered a phone call, and were socially engineered by someone telling them they were from Microsoft. All of those kinds of things, those are things we need to focus on, not just, hey, do I have a good firewall?
Now, is this also because small business owners have really much older hardware, they're using older technology because they necessarily can't afford to upgrade?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, when I go into an organization and I find Windows XP computers, I'm terrified.
Wow.
For that organization. They literally could have a data breach while I'm standing there talking
exactly.
to them. I mean, Windows XP is the Swiss cheese of computers. So, yes. And the other one right now that we're seeing a lot of are the Windows Server 2003. They've got to get out of there. And especially if a small business owner works in a regulated industry like healthcare or financial services or is a vendor to those organizations, that's a really, really big problem.
And a lot of people don't do it because they're afraid. You know, they're comfortable with the technology they have. It's working, right? And they don't necessarily want to go over to something new because they're afraid it's not going to work. And they say, well, maybe I won't get hacked today or it's not going to happen to me. What do you tell those people?
I tell those people that they need to start to think of working with a security expert that can help guide them through that. You know, if you thought about dealing with your small business finances without the help of a CPA and thought that you were going to deal with your taxes and you were going to deal with your state departments of revenue and your unemployment and all of those things without a CPA, it would be really scary, really overwhelming, and really daunting. But my job as a security professional, as a security expert, is to be just like a CPA is to your money. My job is to be just like that to your digital currency, your data, and help you plan, deploy, and then troubleshoot so that all of that kind of stuff can happen in a very smooth way and that security can be baked in from the start and you're not always being reactive to a virus or a security.
I agree. Angie, thanks so much for being on the show. This AM560 The Answer will be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. All lanes are blocked on the southbound side of 394. Again, all lanes blocked south on 394 between US 30, that's Lincoln Highway, and Sauk Trail. All of this due to a tragic accident. Edens and the Kennedy are both wide open. Eisenhower coming inbound a little tight through the avenues with the overnight road work. Thorndale into the old post office, 3118 from Mannheim. Stevenson, Blair barricades there, too, to contend with. From the Des Plaines River Bridge into First Avenue, that's your delay. 355 into the drive, 37. The Dan Ryan delays have dissipated. I-57 looks good. Outbound Bishop Ford slows right off the Ryan down to King Drive, with road work leaving just one lane open. For today, partly cloudy skies and a high of 62. Currently clear and 55. Next update in 15 minutes on AM560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications.
Get
a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Do you want to give your small business the edge that it needs to grow into a bigger business? Of course you do. Come to Accelerate Your Business, hosted by Microsoft, at the Chicago Hilton, October 24th. Damon John, star of ABC's Shark Tank, will kick things off, followed by exciting panels with Carol Roth, Gene Marks, and yes, Barry Moults will be a panelist too. So come say hi. Don't miss this opportunity to network with your peers and learn what's new and essential in technology. Book your complimentary ticket today at barrymoults.com/October24.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moults and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moults and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moults. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
As a small business owner, we all believe in numbers. Numerical results are really one of the ways that we measure success. But what if numbers actually told us more? My next guest, Jesse Kelsey, is a world-renowned numerologist. He's got a book out. It's called The Power of Home Numbers, where he combines Eastern upbringing with his Western experience to bring awareness, understanding this phenomenon. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Great to be here.
All right. So first talk about what is astronumerology for those of us who don't know.
Okay, so astronumerology is about the planets and numbers put together. So to tell you very quickly, you know, there are many kinds of numerology. You know, we have a system here in the West. The Greeks have a system, the Hebrews have a system, there's one with the Chinese, and there's one in the Far East that I practice, which is the East Indian method. And in this system, what it is no, we just don't add numbers. We look at each number and we look at the planets that work with it. We say, for example, basic numerology goes from number 1 to number 9 everywhere. And in this system that I practice, the Eastern method, each number, which is a number, we'll say, for example, number 1 has the energy of Sun, or 9 is Mars, or 6 is Venus. So that's how it goes. You know, it's a little deeper than just adding numbers.
All right. So, and you got started on this not really as an avocation to start. At first, you were in the Indian Military Academy where you were a captain, but then this actually came to you, right?
That's correct. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So, how'd that happen?
Well, you know, it's quite interesting, actually. You know, it was my background was the military. My father served the Air Force as well. And I remember, you know, when I was a cadet at the Indian Military Academy, you know, I used to be training in those ranges of firing those 7.62 SLR, the self-loading rifles, as cadets be training. And, you know, each time I actually end up with the rifle number 27, and, you know, my scores are really high on the rifle ranges. And each time the weapon changed a different number, I mean, they started fluctuating. So, I mean, I was kind of still 18 years old at the time, and that thought kind of got stuck in my head. But then with time when I came to America, you know, 10 years later when I was 29 years old, you know, like most immigrants had nothing to, you know, have absolutely $0 in my hand and had to start again. So this basic sense that I had, I started exploring that. And I didn't understand numerology that well at that time. The thought was there. I remember getting my first apartment here. I think God just gave it to me, the number 27. It came back again. And then it started opening doors. And then as I progressed, you know, I tried different numbers and I realized that each time I went to something else, it did not work.
Wow.
Well,
Jesse, talk a little about business numerology. How does numerology really play into someone that has a company?
Yeah, no, so it depends on what kind of company, you know, what kind of company. Now, here in the Silicon Valley, you know, I've had the, you know, good fortune of working with many startup companies, you know, giving the name of the company, you know. So say, for example, I'm just talking about these high-tech companies. You know, these companies work more with the number 5, which is Mercury energy, because Mercury is communication. And they also work with the number 7, which is Neptune. And Neptune is, you know, like all the water of the earth, like this company Apple here. Apple has a lot of 7 energy. That's the energy it's based on, and its competitor. Samsung also has a similar 7 energy that's kind of struggling with their iPhones, with their phones lately, with them exploding all over the place. So that's how that goes. Now, other big companies like, you know, companies like Microsoft have a lot of Jupiter Energy, which is always there. But then, you know, looking back at their names and their addresses too, addresses are very important as well. Facebook right here in our backyard has a number one address, one Facebook way, Sun. And so does Apple in Cupertino. And then sort of Microsoft up there, Redmond, the Washington area.
Why is numerology so important for these companies? If they can align their brand with certain numbers, then they have a higher chance of being successful?
Yeah, that's right. See, what it's about, you know, the energy, and it's about what it grows by itself. You know, just for example, give another example. There's a company called Solyndra, and if you know Solyndra,
sure.
Was initiated by the White House right here when they turned to the investors, and that company was right here in Fremont, the city where I live in, and they had those four buildings were taken, the name Solyndra, but the name of the company was completely off, and it had a lot of fat and energy, and four buildings with age, it just kind of just came crashing down. So that name would not work, which was all of Saturn number 8 energy. Eight is Saturn, right? Saturn is a core planet, and they were attempting to create solar, which is energy, right? So it contradicted that kind of production and just kind of fell flat. So had Solyndra been more Sun, be more 1, or be more 9, which is Mars, which is more high energy, that would have done quite well. That's what I believe.
So how do I figure out what the best numbers are for my business, Jesse?
So what happens is, we'll have to look at your basic energy, which is your date of birth. And then based on your date of birth, you know, we can tell, I can, with my little experience, give you my best take and say yes or no. The type of business, like I've seen many people here. So what they do is, you know, they see somebody successful. There's a whole line behind them, you know.
Right,
right. It's the same thing. And they all fail. I've seen so many such examples here. Like people opening up, getting into the food business here. And there's one client here. Doing really, really well. He had a huge trucking business, doing really well. He copied some other people who were doing really great in that food business because the Eastern population is so big here. He comes in, he gets a loan from his property, and he puts almost like $1 million in a restaurant, which is kind of flat debt today. He lost it all.
Wow.
So the
last question I want to ask you is, my birthday is 12260. What would be my number?
Number one.
Number one. Okay, I like
number
that.
Number one. Yeah, number one is yours.
I like that.
What happens is, yeah.
I like
22,
that.
22, I tell you why. Most Chinese will say, oh, no, 22, 4, this and that, no. But just master energy is really strong. It's far-reaching. But Uranus with number one, which is Sun, your residence has a lot of 10, 19, that energy or your name. It's far-reaching. It's you. It's like the sun shines on you.
Jesse, thanks so much for being on the show. You can get to Jesse at www.jessekelsey.com. AM560. We'll be right back.
Do you want to give your small business the edge that it needs to grow into a bigger business? Of course you do. Come to Accelerate Your Business, hosted by Microsoft, at the Chicago Hilton, October 24th. Damon John, star of ABC's Shark Tank, will kick things off, followed by exciting panels with Carol Roth, Gene Marks, and yes, Barry Moltz will be a panelist too. So come say hi. Don't miss this opportunity to network with your peers and learn what's new and essential in technology. Book your complimentary ticket today at barrymoltz.com/October24.
The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows
to a crawl.
This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
Hey, what's the name of that church we drove by the other day? I want to get more info from their website.
I think it was something or other Community Church. Try to add the street name in your search.
Yeah, got it. Wow, this website's old. It might not be Y2K compliant. You know, we should nominate them for the free custom website drawing from Fortress Consulting I heard about on AM 1160.
Really? A free website? Is that for real?
Yeah. Fortress1160.com.
Fortress1160.com? Why are they called Fortress?
You know, Fortress, as in, God is my rock and salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken.
But can we nominate a church we don't even go to for a free website?
Sure, why not?
Okay, let me check it out. Oh yeah, here it is. Nominate a church to win a free custom website in a drawing from Fortress Consulting Group at fortress1160.com. Nice. I'm going to share this with my friends and post it right now. Fortress1160.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
As a lot of states struggle with their economic reform, people are thinking, is marijuana the next gold rush? Here to talk about the cannabis industry is Jeffrey Zucker. He's a serial entrepreneur with experience in a wide range of industries, including real estate, hospitality, entertainment, ice hockey, and cannabis. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
We'll talk about what the status of marijuana is in the various states around the country.
So we've got, over half the states now have some form of legalized cannabis. And we've got, in November, 9 states at least that will be voting on cannabis legislature, including 5 states that will be voting on adult use / recreational cannabis, including California, Nevada, Maine, Massachusetts, and Arizona.
So how has it been for the entrepreneurs in these various states that have gotten involved either with medical or recreational cannabis? Has it been worthwhile profit for them or just a lot of red tape and regulation?
So far I would say it actually hasn't been incredibly profitable. It's mostly been preparing for the future. There is a lot of red tape to deal with. Those involved in cultivation, I think while they do a lot of business, they're taxed, at a 70% effective rate right now. So there isn't a ton of money being made, but there are a lot of businesses that are growing and preparing for this to be, more wide scale on a federal level.
And so talk a little bit about the Illinois cannabis program and what the status of that is.
Yeah, so it's been a slow start in Illinois, unfortunately. There were a low number of qualified conditions that were being allowed for medical marijuana. Recently, a judge has ordered that a couple more got added, including post-operation pain. But overall, in Illinois, it's been hurting those that have been gotten involved on the business side because of the patient population being kept so small. And it seemed like, from a lot of people's perspective in the industry, that the Illinois government was, trying to kill this initiative, but it seems that the population is pushing back on that, and it's great to see that the judicial system is also helping to increase the number of qualified conditions.
And one of the things that's really been a stumbling block really is the role of banks or the lack of the ability for these small businesses to actually use banks, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the industry, most of the ancillary companies that don't touch the plant don't have a huge problem with the banks, but banking is the biggest issue. When you're dealing with cultivations and dispensaries, obviously cannabis is still not federally legal. And I'd say there's anywhere from 500 to 1,000 banks that are quietly banking cannabis, but it is very hard for them. While they've been told that they can, most of them don't want to take the risks and want to see where this ends up. So it's causing a lot of security concerns for those in the industry. There's a lot of cash on hand. And, there are businesses that are taking up on that opportunity right now and using that to create businesses and grab some market share. But I think that, that's just hopefully just a short-term problem. As we see the industry evolve, it'll be something we can put behind us.
Well, Jeffrey, I appreciate being on the show and talking about this subject. You can reach Jeffrey at greenlionpartners.com. Jeff, thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. Have a great day.
And I want to thank all of you for being on this week's radio show. And, of course, I want to thank our sponsor, Nextiva. I got to also thank our staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year, you got to give me a call on my private line, 773-837-8250. Or you can email me at barry@maltz.com or go ahead, tweet at me at Barry Maltz or on Facebook at Barry Maltz. Isn't this the year that you really get your business unstuck? Isn't this the year that you move your business ahead? Isn't this the year that you finally make the money you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall.